Been talking about the struggles of life. And I'd like to kind of continue in that vein because I think it's where everybody is right now, and we're trying to get to the place where we feel God wants us to be. But we still sometimes, in being released from last season, we struggle on letting go of some of the things back there to get to the things out there. And it's not that we don't want to let go, but sometimes we're even trapped, or even things are holding us on, or things are lingering. How many people know what I'm talking about? So we talked about last session, and we started defining some things that we struggle with. And one of the first things we had to get out of the way is we keep giving the devil power that he doesn't have. And I showed you very clearly in Scripture that the struggles you have nothing to do with the devil. They have to do with your flesh. And it's because he can tempt that flesh that he has any power over you at all. Because if he could have killed you, if he could have taken you out, he would have already done it by now. So the only way he can do it is to tempt that flesh, because if you continue to sin in the flesh, even if you're saved, that sin will lead to death. Right? If you're drinking poison, you can keep drinking the poison, you will die. I don't care if you're saved or not. If you're an alcoholic and you stay on the alcohol, you're going to die. It's a predictable end. So the only power the enemy has over us is the power we give them. And like I told you last time, it's not the devil made me do it. It's me that made me do it. So what I want to do is I just want to keep moving. Since we got that understanding, now we have to kind of push a little past that. We have to move it into what that looks like, into the callings and the purposes of our life. So I'm going to start in a book called Habakkuk. How many people have heard of that book? Okay, if you don't know where it is, it's over there in the Minor Prophets just before the New Testament. And what you're going to find is it's the part of your Bible that's stuck together because you never open it. Now, there will be like chapter 2, it'll be open a few times because it's got a popular phrase in there we all use. So that page is going to be well lubricated and it's going to work well. But what I want to do, since most people haven't delved into this chapter, I want to give you just a little kind of an overview. What's the purpose of the book of Habakkuk? That's kind of a good start, right? Let's start by saying that it's basically a picture of a prideful people, while at the same time the righteous are living by faith. Now that's a picture of who we are, and that's in the world we live right now. And so you have to understand, this book reminds us that, well, you know, there's a lot of times God seems silent. And maybe even it seems like he's uninvolved in the world. How many people have had those feelings like, God, are you even here right now? Are you even paying attention to what's going on with me? Come on, be honest, how many people are dealing with it? But at the same time, you have to know that while you may not have realization of it, he is always faithful, he is always just, and he always has a plan to reconcile evil, to deal with it. Eventually. Hold on to that word. We're going to come back to it in just a minute. So what is the meaning of the book? You know, what is the meaning of Habakkuk? So basically, you know, Habakkuk sees trouble and he sees sin everywhere, all the way from personal relationships, all the way down to even the courts and the way the system is. Anybody out there noticing that these days? The system needs fixed. We've got some real issues. We see sin abounding. We see atrocities that I never dreamed I would see in my lifetime. When people can't even figure out if they're a boy or a girl. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I could go on and on and on, and we could talk a million issues. That's just one. But it's prevalent now. When it was first talked about, it was ridiculous. It was ridicule. Now it's common. Worship even accepted. Can I take it a step further? It's even promoted. So here this prophet is, he's trying to cry out to God. God, what's up? Where are you? Why aren't you dealing with these people right now? Why, you promised us this land, and they're still in it, and they're still running things. What is going on? Has anyone ever made the prayer? You see what's going on in my life, Lord? This person's getting promotion, I'm not. This person's getting favor, I'm not. Why is that? I'm supposed to be the one with the favor. I'm supposed to be the one getting the promotion. I just wonder how many people today here are mad at God because they thought, he didn't hear me. He's not listening. For some reason, I'm being ignored. Must be something I've done. Listen to me. Times will always be bad. Got it? The bad's never going away till Jesus comes back and reconciles all things. So bad will always be here, but good is also here as well. Look at your neighbor and say, good is better. And God is faithful. And he's faithful to watch over his word, to hasten it, which means to bring it to pass. And you can trust God. And so this prophet is so stressed out. He's calling to him. He's like, come on, judgment, immediately. We got to handle things. And does it sound like anybody? We got to do this, and we got to do it right now. And listen to this. I hope somebody who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying hears this today. Are you listening? In chapter 1, verse 5, he says, he gives a word to the prophet. Watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if I told you. Somebody needs to hold that thought. That is somebody's personal word today. I'm going to read it to you again, and you take it right here in this heart. Watch. I know what's going on now. I know it doesn't look good now. I know it's hard now. I know you seem like you're never going to get to the place you're going. Watch and listen. Just watch, and you will be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not even believe, even if it were told to you. But there's some things you've got to understand. There's some things you have to learn. There's some things you have to do before you're going to see it come to pass. So now, let's go to that well-lubricated part there, Habakkuk chapter 2, which everybody's read because it's a popular quote. Now you understand the context of what's going on in the chapter. You understand the prophet. You understand he's communicating with God. God's communicating back to this prophet. And then God gives this answer, gives instruction. He says you're going to be amazed. He says you're not going to believe what's about to happen, but you got to have a plan. And here's what we're going to do with this plan. Ready? Habakkuk chapter 2. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. How many people have heard that verse a million times, heard it preached a million times, but did anybody break it down for you? Let's break that down. There's three things going on here. First of all, he says, write it down, make it plain. You have to understand, once you write it down, it then has tangibility. God had his spoken word. God had his spoken word. And he felt it so important that he took his own finger and he carved it into stone. Then through the Holy Spirit unction, he wrote through men to record what he said. So you can talk about your vision and share your vision, and that's a good thing. But until you give it tangibility and you write it down and you make it plain, this word is written down and it is plain and it is clear. Then the next step can't happen, which we're about to go to, or the third step, until first you got to write it down. And you can't write it down till you know what it is. You can't write it down until you're clear where it is the vision is taking you. Second thing, the vision's on the inside of you. Listen to me. It won't come through information. It'll come through inspiration. Okay, let me say it again. It won't come to you through information. You're not gonna be reading about it out there. You're not going to find it while you're out there studying and reading. Although you need to read and you need to study, that's not how you'll find it. It won't come through information. It'll come through inspiration. And then it will manifest by revelation. In other words, it will be revealed to you as it is released through you. So you're inspired. Something will, I call it provoked. Something will provoke you. It will inspire you. Once you're inspired, oh my goodness, it hits you. Now you've heard other people talk, and you've read other things, you've heard other things, but for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm talking to you today and I'm speaking things from the Word of God, and I'll say, ooh, something lights in you that didn't light before. Something comes alive in you that was laying dormant until that word hit it. And that word of God hits it, it speaks to you, and all of a sudden, oh, you're inspired. Whew. And then through that inspiration, it begins to be revealed to you. Why? As it's coming through you. So, not through information, by inspiration through revelation. Now, everybody with me so far? So, number three, that he may run who reads it. What's that mean? It means you're not going to do it alone. If you're writing it down, that means somebody needs to read it. Why? Watch this. Because once you give something tangibility, you write it down, listen to me, that written contract now starts getting people moving in place, and they start to fulfill the thing that's written down. In other words, it activates. Look at your neighbor and say, get activated. You got to activate the vision. Okay, if you're buying a house, you can shop house to shop house. Say, I like this one. I like that one. You can tell your realtor, oh, that's just a great house. I love that house. That house is fantastic. Call back, tell the other realtor, I love it. Nothing's changing. House still sitting there? You're still sitting there without a house. You like that house. You're going to tell all your friends about how great that house is. That house is wonderful. That house is even in my price range. I can afford that house. I think I'm going to get that house. You can talk about getting it. You can talk about how you're going to get it. You can talk about what furniture you're going to put in it. You can talk about the yard. You can talk about how many pets you're going to put in the backyard and the place you're putting a swing set for the grandkids. You're listening to me. But you know what? You still ain't got a house. And the realtor hasn't moved. The banks haven't moved. Nobody has done anything toward the vision except you talking about it. Then all of a sudden, you write it down in a contract. You're very specific. You get everything down. A goes to Z, and you sign that contract. Once you write it down, oh, my God, realtor starts moving, banks start moving, things start happening, appraisals start going, all right, title searches start happening. Next thing you know, they're setting up a closing. Now, where is A going to end at Z? You're going to have a new house. You're going to be living it. You're going to put as many pets in that backyard as you want. You're going to put the swing set wherever. You may move it four times, but it's your place. And you can alter the vision as it goes, but you got to get the vision in place before you fine-tune it. And until you write it down, how's anybody going to know? And you're not going to do it alone. Look at the person on either side of you and say, we need each other. Your calling will be defined the clearest once you define your purpose. Can I tell you what the hardest part is? You know what the hardest part of vision is? You ready? It's the wait. I don't know about you. I hate to wait. I don't want to wait for anything. Man, does anybody hate to wait as bad as I do? Okay, I don't mean this the wrong way, but in my world, I feel like everybody else is moving in slow motion. I mean, maybe it's because I'm hyper. I talk to some people and I'm like, say it, just spit it up, say it. Oh my God. When I drive, my son will look at me and say, Dad, it's not a race. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, you are so wrong. It so is. It is a, everything is a race. I will go 5 miles out of the way just to keep moving. I don't make me sit behind something. Traffic coming. You want me to get out and direct traffic so you can go? Come on! But after last sermon series, I stopped getting out of my car and doing that. I've been delivered. Now I just take it to God in prayer. I didn't say I was all the way delivered. I'm working on it like you are. When I eat, I'm sorry, I eat like a barbarian. I can't help it. I'm always the first one finished, always. I've sucked the meat off the bones, half the marrow out the bone, and they're still chewing on the skin on the second bite. Can you put more than 3 peas on your spoon at one time? I'm shoveling it in like a coal truck, man. Why are you taking breaks between bites? What's that all about? I came to eat. When I get ready in the morning, I'm the first one ready. I'm the one sitting in the car waiting on everybody else. Oh, God. Ladies? Women. What is it about I'm going to go get my purse that is so different from a man? If you ask a man to go get your purse, he walks in, he gets the purse, and he's on his way to the car. You know, 5-6 seconds? I'll be right there. I'm going to get my purse. Now, what she means on the way to get my purse, I have a few details I need to tend to. And somehow on the way out, that means I'm going to fix something to drink. I'm going to prepare a snack for the car. But I'm not going to put a lid on that drink. Oh, my God, men, help me. Anybody? I try to keep my car so nice. Could you please put a lid on it? Because you know somebody's hitting the brakes, especially when you drive like I drive. And that drink's going everywhere. Minutes to get a purse. Man, I get caught up on my sermons. I get caught up on my prayer life. Anybody else pray that prayer? Lord, give me patience, but hurry up and give it to me now. Now listen. I'm a visionary. But everyone is not. However, listen to me, everyone has vision on the inside of them. Okay, who you are, there is vision on the inside of you. Now me, I was just born to be a leader. I can't help it. I was born to be a leader. Everyone is not. Everyone can't be a leader. You got to have some Indians in the tribe. But I'm also a better follower than I am a leader. And I couldn't be a good leader until I could be a good follower. And so although everyone can't be the leader, listen to me, people will follow you if you're a good follower. I got to let you think about that for a minute. If you're a good follower, people will follow you. So then in essence, yes, you are a leader. You may not be the leader, but you are a leader. Listen, I've said this for years. We know who the leaders are long before they get their titles. Amen? Yeah. And so, in essence, you are still, there's still leadership in you, and it comes through being a really good follower. So there's vision inside of you, and it will be revealed to you. And once it's revealed, listen to me, that's what reveals the purpose of your life. You have to have purpose, or you don't know where to point the vision. You don't know where it all ends. Most people are out there running the race, but they don't know where the finish line is. No, you don't know how many times I ask people in my office, I'll say, okay, so they say, oh, I want to start a ministry. Oh, okay. what kind of ministry? I want to do ministry. Well, I mean, what's it look like? Well, I don't know. Lord will tell me. Well, why don't you come back to me when you talk to the Lord about this? You know, I'm not your Holy Ghost. I can't tell you what ministry you need to start. If you're called, there's a calling in you, and the calling points to something. You know how many different kinds of ministry there are? I mean, you called to kids, you called to youth, you called to outreach, and you have more pastoral skills, you're more of a teacher, you're a helper. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. Do you? What's your end game? I'm asking questions here. Because if we don't face the hard questions and we don't get them answered, we're just going to keep running. And here's what's happening. When you're running and you don't know where you're going, you just look for the next best thing. So you run over to this church, you know, oh, they got all this, is so much fun, until it ain't fun no more. Somebody says something, somebody does something wrong, something offends you. Well, oh, that looks good over there. I'm going to run over there. Yeah, oh, I like playing with these people. These people are fun. I'm even having a better time here than I had over there. And you're all in it for the time. Vision has nothing to do with how good you feel in it. I could tell you right now some of the worst feelings I've ever had have been right in the middle of my calling. Some of the moments I've hated the most is because I was so close to the breakthrough of the thing that God set me to do that the enemy was trying to do everything he could to put things in front of me to stop me. But God knew I was going to pass the test, so he let me stay there anyway, gave me the strength to get through. And when I got through, now I had something to celebrate about. But at that moment, could have been one of the worst moments of my life, at the best timing in my life. Somebody say struggles. The struggles come with a price. And so there's a purpose that everybody has, and it has to be revealed in you, and it will come through vision. It always comes through vision, because vision will show you where you need to go. So you may be listening to my voice or a visionary that's speaking, and it speaks to the calling. You feel something kind of leap inside in the middle of you. And then that assigns you to your purpose. Now, once you get assigned to your person, that's when the motivation starts. That's when you as a person start to get excited about the things of God, get motivated about the things of God. You want to do things for God. How many people know just what I'm talking about? Man, I know what my purpose is. Now, when anybody talks with anything to do with purpose and it has to do with the thing you're called to, man, you light up like a Roman candle. You hear me? Because that's what's in you. God put it in you, and he designed you for that purpose. And so, one of the biggest problems that I have in being a visionary is I speak out what I see too soon. Yeah, I just say it too soon. Because then everyone thinks it's going to happen next week. And I can't help it. I just see way out there. And what I see does come to pass, but it ain't next week, it's not next month, not next year. Sometimes it's 10, 50, 30 years for some of this stuff I'm just now seeing that I spoke 30 years ago. See, vision also has depth, and everyone can't handle your depth. Everyone can't see it clear enough, and they don't have an unction or a calling strong enough to hold the vision that long. Doesn't make them bad people. Just means they'll faint and they'll grow weary before they hit the mark because they're not in that same vision. You follow me? So I've had to learn. I see all kinds of things, but I don't say it. I don't say everything I see. Amen. Because once you see, then you have to wait. And then you have to wait on things to line up. So you have to wait until you see the thing come to pass, and man, that can take a long time. And you know what I found out? People don't like to wait either. I don't like to wait. People don't like to wait. So here you go. Here's the scripture nobody wants to hear. Ready? I'll read it from the New King James Version. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Don't lie. Nobody wants to hear that. I'm going to do this, and you're going to be able to do this, and then all this greatness is going to happen, and look what you're going to bring for the earth, and look at the difference you're going to make in the world. But you have to wait. Why? Because in order to get from the point we're starting to the point we're going, things have to line up and be done a certain way. And if they're not, you won't be complete. You won't be perfect, and you'll be lacking a lot instead of lacking nothing. So I'm talking to somebody. If you saw something and you moved and you gave up too soon, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, say due season, God sets that time. You'll reap if you faint not. Don't quit. And there's been a few of you, you had faith in the vision. You thought this was going on. And, man, I thought we were doing this. And this very church right here, well, I thought this was going to happen. It is. It's going to happen. Everything you heard, you're going to see it. Sorry you didn't see it last year. I'm sorry you didn't see it 5 years ago. I'm real sorry I didn't see it 15 years ago. I really wanted to see it 15 years ago. And we were right on the edge, and I thought it was. But it just wasn't God's timing. What's that have to do with what God said? It's not an if, it's a when. Thank you for that faith-filled applause. Yeah, I think I understand what he's saying. See, when faith speaks to you and the word speaks to you, it revives something in you that was present but now is laying dormant. The whole idea in inspiration, being inspired by the Word of God, is to awaken the dormant places in your life so you'll be motivated again by the Spirit to do the things God's called you to do. And until you do, watch this, you will be miserable. Until you are in your calling, doing what you're supposed to do, you will be miserable. I'm sorry, you might have everything in place, you may not have it. The struggles may actually settle down around you, but in here, it ain't right. Something's not right. Not like it should be. I don't have that peace. I don't have that sense of accomplishment. I don't have that sense of worth that I once had. Why? Because you're not doing what you're called to do. Who am I talking to today? Come on. Let patience have its perfect work. So God speaks the vision. Watch this. And then you have to wait. Why is it so hard? You want to know why? Because it says at first you have to defend it. You spend half your time trying to convince everybody what you've seen is valid. You know you've heard from God, and so you get people on board, and there's always the doubters that tell you why it can't happen, won't happen, shouldn't happen, never going to happen. But you know inside you what the Lord showed you. And so you keep pressing, and you keep pressing, but God will also at the same time send you all those people that see the same thing you see too. And they will get on board with you. Or you will be a part of a group of people that's doing the thing that you want to do. And that's more common. That's more common. See, everybody thinks they see something and they have to go out somewhere and do it. Show me that in the Word of God. We're supposed to be joined together. Why do you think you're sitting here today? Why do you think you're being inspired the way you're being inspired? Why do you think things are lighting up and you are going to continue to light up in here before the sermon's over? And you go, oh, yeah, that's me. I got to revive that calling. Because you're in the place that your calling and your gifting needs to be used. And God's trying to connect you by the Spirit to that so what's in you can manifest. It won't manifest at home eating popcorn on the couch. And although it's good to watch online, it's good to stay connected, but it is not the same as sitting in the presence of God in the midst of the people where the worship is strong and the power of God is strong amongst people. If there are two are gathered in his name, what happens when you got a few hundred? Oh, my God. It's called a saturation of the anointing. So, yeah, at first you have to defend it. It's hard, and you sometimes... Man, I've been defending things, some of these things for 30 years I've been defending. So at first you have to defend it, but you need to read the rest of the verse. Right? Like Paul Harvey, you have to get the rest of the story. Because it says, at the end, it will speak. In other words, at the end, I don't have to say a thing. In other words, you're talking about me now, but later you're going to talk about what I saw. Why? Because you're going to see it too, because it's going to manifest. That's how vision works. So once you cross that threshold and you walk through that door into a new season, then the fields that you've been sowing in the last season, you worked and you cultivated and you've been sowing into, they've been prepared for the harvest, okay? Now you should be able to see why you planted in those fields. Because the reason why you planted in those fields in the first place is because the vision on the inside of you was provoked by something or someone. That's what made you sow all that. Something provoked you. That vision made you spend that time and all that effort and all that work. So there's a time when you need to be provoked in a holy way. But when you get provoked and you're with a group that you're sowing and you're feeling, now it's time, listen to me, to get connected. Did you hear me? I'm going to explain it in just a minute. Because once you finally are able to see your purpose, then you have to, on the inside, get connected to the vision. You struggled to make it this far. How many people would agree? You're connected. You've struggled to make it this far. But here is where the real struggle begins. Are you ready? Now you have to allow what's on the inside to manifest on the outside, and you have to coordinate it with the vision that's consistent with the purpose in your life. Whew. Now, I showed you a few weeks ago where the Apostle Paul said that many doors of opportunity were open to him, but there were also many adversaries. That means for every opportunity, there's an adversary. For every time God opens up an opportunity, there is someone in place to try to block that blessing in your life. That's a scripture. So expect it. There is an enemy standing in the doorway of every new season you're trying to walk through. But are you ready for this? It's not the devil. What did we learn last session? It's the flesh. So the hardest one to defeat, the hardest enemy to defeat into your next season is you, yourself. The flesh, it gets quiet. The flesh wants it. It wants it right now. The flesh, it goes by what I feel. It doesn't work by faith. It operates by intellect, what I can understand, what I can figure out, not by spirit revelation. It goes by what it sees instead of what it knows. Flesh causes us to react instead of reason. My flesh thinks about what I want instead of what's best for the vision that I'm connected to. Did you hear it? Oh, it's all about what I want. What about the vision you're connected to? That's the spirit. The flesh says, me, myself, and I. The spirit says, we, us, and them. The flesh, it likes solos. I, my ministry, I'm doing this. Have you ever heard me call this my ministry? You never will, because it ain't my ministry. Jesus said, I, he's the only I, and he said, I will build my church that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see what I mean? Not me. This isn't my church, this is our church. This isn't my vision, this is his vision, and it's our vision to follow. If I have to leave tomorrow, this vision doesn't change. This church doesn't change. This mission doesn't change. The people don't change. You are the church. I'm not the church. I'm just leading it right now. Amen, amen. The vision's in you just as much as it is in me. You're called to it just as much as I am. So the flesh likes solos. They want to raise up me. Ah. Be wary, because then they'll try to pull you away, get you connected to things you don't need to be connected to. The spirit likes teams. Oh, yeah. We serve together. We do everything together. Collectively, we're better together than we are apart. The flesh wants to separate, but the spirit wants to connect. So based on this vocabulary, based on this understanding, my question to you is, what has been speaking to you in your life? Spirit or flesh? The only one that can answer that question is you. So I'm going to say this. One of the greatest secrets to the success that I've had in my life is I have always stayed connected and served those people that God put in my life. He put them there as mentors. He put them there as teachers. He helped them as helpers, and I helped them, and I did everything I could for them. I promoted their ministries. I promoted their, back when I was a student doctor, I worked for the most popular, the ones who actually invented the techniques. I would go and I would serve them, and I would give everything to them until I was promoted out of that place. I never left, never walked. Matter of fact, I was from Orlando, and the place I planned on putting my clinic for many, many years, the mentor that I was following, Dr. Pierce at that time, he was going to open a hospital there, and I purposely did not go there because I didn't want to compete with him. So I went away from my own home stake that I had set my plans for my life out of integrity and out of loyalty, because it was the right thing to do or not to do in that case. And I came to Alabama. I could have went there, actually could have actually worked there and been a star, but that's not what God called me to do. But I left what was rightfully my stake. Are you listening to me? Because it was the right thing to do. And I wanted to stay connected. So when I came to Alabama, I stayed connected till the day the man died. Every person I've ever served, I've stood by them until they died. Pastor David, when I was at this church, anybody here, I served him. I wouldn't even let him call me a pastor at this church. He wouldn't have called me associate pastor. I said, no, I'm just going to be Doc. I served him when he opened up his own ministry, you know, his David Pizzaman Ministries. I became his first and his biggest giver. Why? Because I served him. He was my mentor. I didn't want anything in return. I didn't need anything from him, actually, outside of needing him to be a man of God in my life. And I needed the spirit direction and the guidance. So I've always honored who I've served. When I got promoted from here, and I went to TBN, you know, did that whole big thing with TBN 30 years ago or 25 years ago, whatever it was. Do you know who gave me the greatest send-off this church has ever seen? Pastor David sent me with his blessing. And when I got up there in Michigan, I didn't forget about him. And I didn't forget about you. I stayed connected to this church, and whatever you want to call it, fame, attention, and whatever, I tried to direct back to this church. Why? Because I knew I needed to stay connected to be functional. Is anybody listening? Until 2 days before we were supposed to meet him in Panama City, him and Kelly, Pastor Kelly, we were supposed to meet them for a weekend down at the beach. And I got the phone call that he passed away. I was devastated. So what do you do? What any good son does, you come back. And I came up here and I ministered at this church, no charge. I said, I'll come up and I'll preach as often as you need me to settle things. They offered me the pastorship. I said no. And I didn't take it. I said, I have people I think are more qualified. So David's mentor, Pastor O'Leary, I recommended him. I recommended Reggie Knowles. I recommended the first person I ever saw here. It was also named David. It was a very good friend. And I thought they all had way more than I had to offer for the people. Because I believe that in my heart. Whether it was true or not, I don't know, but that's what I believed in my heart. I wanted what was the best for the vision, not the best for me. And I declined. Pam, you were here. They brought every one of those speakers in here, and the church didn't vote them in. It was something that didn't mesh here, didn't mesh there. It doesn't make them bad people. It just means they weren't a fit. And I told you the story when they asked me. She called me. I was in the middle of evangelizing in New York, in Long Island, on the biggest church there, Bishop D'Onofrio's church, when I got the phone call, having spirit-filled movements where drug addicts were shaking under the power. I came out of that service sitting in my room. I'm still shaking under the power, and I get a phone call. And when I saw it was her, I knew what she was going to ask me. And so I left all of that, and I came back here. You say, why would you do that? I laid everything down and came back here. Why? Because you have to stay connected to your calling. Since then, God has reignited all that, and it's all now all that's restored, and everything's back in place again. We're back in place in here again. So, you know, why am I telling you all that? Because, you know, you some point in your life, you have to realize that there is a calling in you, and God puts you around people. God's not chaotic. Now, people are. And he tries to put you in a place like you're sitting right now. And instead of looking and thinking, well, I wonder if I like this or not, it's not about what you like or don't like. Are you connected? My question to you is, if you're in this church, what are you doing for this church? Not what is this church doing for you, what are you doing? We're not called to you, you're called to us. Oh, man, that's hard to say. Two series ago, what was it? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So the calling is about the people sitting beside you, not what you're feeling. God allowed you to be here to be a part of such glorious people. I thank God every day I get to be here with you. What a blessing. We have the best sheep in the world here. Are you kidding me? So, to become efficient, better said, you have to be connected to a body. A hand. A hand's no good if it's not connected to an arm and a shoulder. Think about it. Until it learns how to connect and how to function and how to cooperate, nothing will change. It'll just sit there, nothing will happen, and it will never get used for its intended purpose. Right? Or worse, you can get connected to the wrong thing. So you can become, listen, by yourself. There's your hand. Okay. Now, what are you going to do with that hand? Okay, we'll just connect it with a piece of wood and let it sit there. You use it for an ashtray. Oh, I don't know. We'll put it in a vase. We'll get it connected. I use it to hold flowers. We'll connect it to a stick. Use it as a back scratcher. Now, you're laughing, but that's what we do with our gifts and our talents. This is what we do. Instead of out being the hands that help and nurture people, we're scratching backs, holding ashes. There's another component that you're forgetting, since we're supposed to make it about other people, and that is simply this. Remember, if your part isn't in place and it's not connected, you handicap the whole body. Now, the body can't do what it's supposed to do because you're not doing what you're supposed to do, even though God put you here to do it. The flesh is the part of you that has to be disciplined to get in line with the vision instead of getting in the way of it. It has to stay connected, and it has to stay patient. Can I have, I know I've went today, but can I have five more minutes, just five more minutes? I got to break this down. God said, this is going to help somebody. God says, I know the plans I have for you. And by the way, they're good plans. They're really good plans that he has for you. How many people believe that? So God shows you a vision, and he shows you where you are now, and he shows you what it looks like in the future. But he doesn't reveal the plan on how to get from A to Z. So my God, what does he do? He shows you the next step. That's it. There's the vision. Here's where you are. And what does he do? He shows you the next step. So what's the next step? Anybody want to know what the next step is? It's the struggle that's the closest to you. It's the struggle or the problem that is the closest to you. You got to solve it. People say, I'm stuck. You know, I can't seem to get traction. I don't know what to do. You know, if you want to move forward in your life, right now, you have to focus on solving the problem that's the struggle that's the closest to you, because that's the thing that's keeping you from walking out the vision into the next season. That's the thing that's the greatest struggle. That's the thing that stands between you and the door to the next season. You know why God doesn't show you the plan? Because the plan is the continuous solving of struggles. The plan is you're continually solving problems, struggles. Who wants to sign up for that? If I would have known when I started ministry, all of the things I was going to have to go through, walk through, suffer through, I never would have fulfilled that plan. I'll tell you right now, there's no way I would have signed up for that. So, the biggest problems, I'm going to make a statement, the biggest problems that you will ever solve will not be in situations or the people around you. They will be with you. Did you hear me? So if you're stuck, and you're stuck here right now, you can't move forward, here's some good advice. Ready? Stop trying to fix everyone and everything that's around you. Just fix the struggle that's the closest to you, and that struggle may very well be you. Can you please stand to your feet? I apologize, I went a little over today. I couldn't find a stopping place without losing all of the teaching to get you to the end. At the end, we all have to face this. And I wish I would have had a bunch of little mirrors today and I'd have you hold it up. And maybe I should have you hold your cell phones up and put the camera on you and look at yourself, because that is the closest struggle to you. Guys, that's all that's keeping us from getting all that that we saw way back. And nobody knows that better than me, because I'm the one dealing with me right now. I'm a handful. I'm a lot to deal with. I don't know why God lets me do what I do. I'm a hot, stinking mess. He still loves me. I'm a hyper hot mess. That's even worse. I don't know if that's a real thing, but I'm it. So, guys, I don't know where we are. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know where you're living right now. I don't know what you're dealing with, but God does. And like the prophet, don't ever feel, just because you don't feel God, that he's not present. Don't you ever think for 1 minute he doesn't have a plan for everything that's going to happen in your life. Don't you think for 1 minute he doesn't have his hand of protection upon you, his hand of blessing on you, because he does. But we're in a time now that we're going to have to learn to hear in a way we've never heard. And the only way we can do that is to stop those other voices. And the first voice you're going to have to stop is we got to quit letting that flesh talk so much to us. We have to quit having conversations with our flesh. Now, I've cut a lot of my conversations out, but I still got a couple big ones I'm working on. Anybody got some you're working on? Or y'all got yours figured out already? I mean, y'all might have me licked. I don't know. Maybe I should have you up here preaching. I don't know. Now, I'm still working it out, figuring it out too, but you know what? I got help. I got help. I got help. And thank God we have grace. But grace is not permission to fail. Okay. And so, as we're going through these series, and we're dealing with these struggles, we're all dealing with them together, can we all just agree that we may not get everything just right, but we're going to give our everything to try? Can we at least commit to that? 5 of you agree, you want to hear. Okay, I'll get on board. Some of y'all were thinking it over, you're going. You guys are so serious all of a sudden. Yeah, you're serious because it is a serious moment. It really is. I like to have fun like everybody else. I like to cut up a little bit, and it does lighten the mood a little bit, but guys, at the end of the day, we got to face reality. And we got to deal with what needs dealt with. So you heard me say, you got to deal with the struggle that's closest to you. So I just believe that there's an anointing present when a word is preached that is there to break the yoke, literally to destroy the yoke that you've been carrying and struggling with and battling with. So if that's you right now, just... you don't have to say what it is. It's just something you just, you know, I think we all have one. We need to break it today. It needs to be destroyed. If that's you, just lift up your hand. You notice I'm lifting up my hand too. Matter of fact, I'm going to raise both of them. I just thought of another one. Oh, wait a minute. I thought of another one. Y'all better hurry up and raise whatever you're raising, because if I raise one more thing, it's going to get ugly. So here's how I'm going to do the altar call. If you're in here today and you've never asked the Lord into your heart to be your Savior, that's where it starts. That's how you conquer the greatest struggle in your life, and that's over your eternity. And so you simply ask Jesus to come and be Lord of your life, and then you will be with Him throughout eternity. And that opens up this book of promises, every promise in here for you. Now, you may have known about Jesus, you heard of Jesus, but maybe you've never really said the prayer to ask Him into your heart. Well, we want to do that with you today. That's why we're here. So if that's you today, there's, you know, I'm going to pray a prayer here with everybody. But I do like to know who I'm agreeing with in prayer while I'm praying. So I'm not going to call you out or anything, not going to say your name. But if you don't mind, could I just see who you are today? Who would like to give their life to Jesus today while we're praying? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand. You're not committing to the church or anything. You're just saying right now, I just got to get it fixed with Jesus. Anybody else? Okay, thank you for that hand, sweet. Thank you for those hands. So kind. So honest. Thank you for that hand. So kind. So kind. Are you up there? Everybody good up there? Okay. Now, here's the next question. If like so many of us, we're doing good for a little while, then we just veer off path. We don't even know how we got off path, off course. But today, you've heard the word. You thought, you know, I got to get back. I got to get back in line with the vision. I got to get back with the things of God. And today you want to go ahead and just tell God that. While we're praying, who's that? I was wondering who. Raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Yeah, see those hands. See, when you raise up your hand, what you're saying is, man, that's me, God. I'm just tired of floundering. Okay, you can put the hands down. So here's what we're going to do together as a church. Not only am I going to do exactly what I said, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. In that prayer, that thing that you're struggling with, that thing that keeps holding you, that thing that keeps getting in your way into this next season, I want you to pray for God to release it. And as you're saying these words of proclamation, when you say amen, I want you to settle it in your heart that it's done. Only you can do that. That's by faith. And you agree with God that that thing is no longer going to have a stronghold on you. How many can do that? Okay? So let's do exactly what I just said, and let's release this in prayer. So bow your heads and repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are my Lord. And right now, I believe that you are releasing me from that struggle, that thing, that hindrance, that distraction, that roadblock in my life. You are now ridding that from my life. You're taking that away from me now. I believe it. I've spoken it. And now that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. I am free. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, rejoice for what the Lord has done. Guys, this week, I want you to stay in faith. I'm going to advise you, if you can, you may want to go back and listen to it again. This is the series that we've got to get through as a church. My hand's up too. I said, we. If we can just get through this part of the struggle, there's nothing that can keep us from what God has for us. We don't want to get in our own way. Amen? How many people felt like that spoke to your heart today? How many people connected with that? How many people want to get connected as a body? Come on, guys, we can do this. We all go? We all go together. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, guys. I love you.